Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and good morning. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, and I'm here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcast on iTunes.
So excited. I'm so excited, and good morning. I'm so excited I forgot to say good morning to you.
Good morning.
How are you?
Why are you so excited?
Top Chef is back on the air.
Ah, we did get to watch last week.
I don't even own a TV that, like, my girlfriend makes fun of me because it's in the closet. I got to take it out and, like, put the rabbit ears on it. So I have to, like, go to great lengths to watch Top Chef, which is on the Bravo Network.
I just have to TiVo it and watch it the next day.
You really are much more technology. Entertainment center-wise.
I can watch it. See, the beauty for me is I usually am off on Sundays, so I can TiVo it on Wednesday and then watch it on Sunday.
I don't like TV generally. Mm-hmm. I don't like reality shows, and I especially don't like cooking reality shows, except for Top Chef. It's great. If you haven't seen it, you should check it out. It's a reality TV show where the winner wins like $100,000 and a whole lot of great stuff. Tom Colicchio, I really enjoy his personality a lot, and he's a great chef. Is the head judge. And it's a really good show, and it's indicative of it has something to do with what it takes to be a great chef. You know, in a real restaurant. We have coming on the show later, we have one of the contestants, a guy from New Jersey named Cliff Crooks, who's executive chef at a place in New York, but he's also a contestant on Top Chef.
And don't forget, Padma Lakshmi is now the
I'm sorry.
One of the head judges, the host of the program.
Whatever she is.
H-O-double-T.
Whatever she is. She's, like, smart and knows her food. And whatever she is now, she is still hot from before.
She is a spokesmodel who also happens to be writing cookbooks and have shows on the Food Channel.
She's much more than a spokesmodel. I bet she would punch you in the nose if you called her a spokesmodel.
Well, that's what I'm saying. She's all of these things.
And I would say, get him.
you usually do.
Get him. Let's go have a drink. He's a bad man. I would never call you a spokesmodel. Anyway, so the show's really great. I got your back in a bar fight if a guy attacks you, but I'm useless.
Once the spokesmodel comes up.
But if the... You did it again?
Yeah, I know. I did it for you.
Oh, man.
I did it for you, so she might hit me and
We'll be talking about Top Chef later on the show with one of the contestants from this show. We'll have to get Colicchio on again later in the season, but we're going to watch that as it goes through. I think it's one of the best shows on television with regard to this kind of stuff. Let's talk about a couple things that are going on in New York. The city council member, New York City Council member Melinda Katz, has introduced a resolution to rid the city of the practice in which an exorbitant sum is charged for a bottle of liquor plus mixers. This is called bottle service. Mm-hmm. And it may be illegal in New York City. Basically, the way it works is in a club.
Right. You pay $250
or $500 for a bottle of Absolut.
For a $25 bottle of Absolut.
That's a pretty good markup. But if you think about it, you're paying for 35 drinks.
Right. You're not just paying for 35 drinks. You're paying for the space in the club.
Right.
You get
a table.
You're paying to be at that club in that space.
That's
what you're paying for.
But here's how it works. Unless you get a second bottle, then you're paying more.
Then you're paying more.
But here's what it is. It's to set the VIP to make you pay for a table in a club.
Mm-hmm.
They charge you, it's called bottle service. They give you a bottle of alcohol, not a bottle of wine.
Right.
And it's $250, and then you get all the mixers or whatever you want, and you get the table with a few seats at it. And for two bottles, you get more seats. And there's a problem with this. And the problem is, you pay $250 for a bottle of Absolut.
You're drinking it.
Yeah, and there's half of it left.
Right.
You ain't leaving $125 worth of Absolut
right.
on the table. You know what I'm saying?
Whereas you might leave eight.
Exactly. You know,
yeah.
And so they're trying to, they're going to change this law, and a couple of the owners,
There's also another hazard here, okay? A table of 15 people sit down with a bottle of vodka, or 10 people sit down with a bottle of vodka. No big deal. Shot and a half per person. No problem. Well, what if one of those people has 12 shots out of the bottle and everybody else has half a shot?
I've been that guy.
but seriously, the restaurant, the club in this case, it sets themselves up for a lot of liability in that scenario.
There's something I have to say. You know, this is illegal in New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
although it's done. Although it is done.
It is done.
It's completely illegal in New Jersey. In New Jersey, you're not allowed to, if you're in the restaurant business out there, and this varies state by state, so check with your own state. In New Jersey, you're not allowed to leave an open bottle of liquor with a customer. You
Correct.
Can leave an open bottle of wine or beer, but you cannot, like, you know, and I have to say, I sort of like the idea. I've been at friends' bars where they'll come mm-hmm. over and, you know, pop the bottle of whiskey and put it down on the table, and
yep.
and it sits there, and you can drink what you want, and you get charged for what you use.
As you use it, yes.
It's like it's like a saloon in the Old West,
mm-hmm.
but that's completely illegal in the state
Absolutely.
Of New Jersey.
The other thing is, you know, a lot of, like, Italian-style restaurants, a lot of the Brooklyn Italian-style restaurants, like Catherine Lombardi is, you would go at the end of the, especially the ones with no liquor license. The owner might, as a gesture, put a bottle of Zambuca on the table and say, "Oh, you know,
enjoy or something." Or,
yeah, exactly. Enjoy some Zambuca on me after the meal. Dinner. And rather than pour for everybody who might not want it, somebody who wants a little more, somebody who wants a little less, you kind of would leave it in your own hands.
Breaking the law.
Very much against
Breaking
the law.
Breaking the law. In New Jersey.
And for two reasons. One, the owner of the Italian restaurant with no liquor license can't serve you Sambuca, and two, they can't leave a bottle unattended on the table.
I remember there was a story, and we won't mention the town, but there was a story of, we were in the New Jersey Restaurant Association, we're members mm-hmm. of the New Jersey Restaurant Association, and we looked at kind of the crazy laws that exist for people who have liquor licenses, and we, with our liquor license, paying our bills, paying our dues, paying our taxes, going through inspections, have obey all these laws. And there were some liquor licensed restaurants that were complaining that non-licensed restaurants were serving liquor.
Mm-hmm.
And this was back in a prior administration, but we, as the Restaurant Association, took up their cause and we brought it to the ABC, and the ABC said to us,
ABC is Alcoholic Beverage Control.
It
they are the people
has a different name, now,
right? But they're the people in charge of policing alcohol license establishments and making sure that everything
was,
you do is legal.
What they said was, "Yeah, we don't have jurisdiction over that. We only have jurisdiction over the licensees." I said, "Wait, so you're telling me because I have a liquor license,
so I get to spend $100,000 for the right for you to police me?"
But what you're saying is, if I'm serving liquor without a license, you're not.
Right.
You don't have the. Anyway, that was finally changed,
right.
But after some stamping around by us. But what the problem was they called the local police. Now, the thing about serving liquor, and especially if you have a liquor license, all branches of government are empowered to enforce mm-hmm. the liquor laws. It's not like the state police can't, or the local government can't, or the county government can't. Any police department
right,
can
is
enforce
empowered
liquor laws.
Is empowered to come in and shut you down if need be.
And we hate that. We absolutely hate
we
that.
We hate to be shut down. It's one of our least favorite things in the whole world.
But the restaurateurs who were paying the license, you pay for license in the beginning and then you pay every year, were complaining about this BYO place. They were connected with the police department. All the policemen were going there because the booze was cheaper.
They're bringing their own. Yeah, exactly.
No, well,
they were
getting it.
Exactly. They were being handed the booze for free.
Hey, I got one more piece of advice for people out there. There's a misconception that people have, and you need to understand the restaurateur's point of view here. Serving a minor in a liquor licensed establishment, however they get served,
mm-hmm.
it's the restaurateur's fault, it's the license holder's fault, and they could lose their license. Now, probably on a first offense, they're not going to lose it, but you could get fined tens of thousands of dollars. They can close you down for a week or a weekend, and if that happens in December,
and
they
also,
can sink you.
If, I understand if they're your kids, but if you're the parents, you're also legally liable, and you also are breaking a law.
But just so you know why the restaurateurs freak out so much, if this happens, you serve your son or daughter a glass of wine because you're like, oh, they mm-hmm. can handle it. In your house, you're perfectly able to do that. In a liquor license to sell, you're not. What's going to happen is your daughter could lose her license, pay the $3,000 fine. You could be fined for serving an alcohol to a minor, but you probably won't. The restaurateur can lose their license.
Right.
Okay.
It's a big deal.
So it's not you giving your kid wine. It's unfortunately, and I wish this weren't the law because I think it's an unwise law, but it's the law that we licensees have to listen to. Hey, we're going to talk in a moment with one of the contestants from Top Chef, our favorite reality TV show overall, and it's a reality show about food. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 14:50. The time is 11:15. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Captain Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick, New Jersey, and our favorite reality food show, actually the only reality food show that we like, is back on the air.
I'm going to say the only reality show.
Yeah, the only one that we like. We're really not generally a fan of them. But we have Top Chef is back on the air, and you know we're all a big fan of Colicchio, and we're a big fan of the show, and so we arranged to call a Jersey native, a guy named Cliff Crooks, who is one of the contestants who may be the next Top Chef.
Cliff, welcome to the show.
Yeah, how are you guys? Thank you very much.
We're doing great.
So, man, you're a contestant on... Now, last year, this show had not yet aired. Nobody knew quite what to expect. But you saw the show last year. You saw what a big deal it was. And now you're a contestant on Top Chef. How did you go about doing that? How did you become a contestant on Top Chef?
Actually, it was a total fluke. I wasn't even going to do it. My girlfriend kind of pushed me to do it.
And thank God for wise girlfriends.
Yeah, thank God, huh? Yeah, totally. She went down and actually stood in line for the audition while I was actually still at work. And that kind of just, you know, moseyed on down there and really didn't expect much. And next thing I knew, apparently, I was on the show.
Okay, now thousands of people moseyed on down and tried to get on the show. Why do you think they picked you?
I don't know. Devilish good looks.
Modesty. Modesty.
Yeah. Pretty damn hot. No, I honestly really, I don't, just the interview process was a thrill to go through, actually.
Yeah.
They seem to like the shy, reserved type, Cliff, yeah. And you seem to be fitting the profile.
Yeah, really. You know, it probably goes back to my days of, you know, politics. I don't know.
Now, what was the interview process like? Was it cooking? Was it talking? Was it, you know?
A little bit of both. Mm-hmm. A lot of talking, and just they pretty much let you just be yourself. And they don't ask you any leading questions or anything, and you just get to talk, and it works out well.
Let me talk about if it works out well. Just so everybody knows that now, one of the other restaurant reality shows, I remember the prize was you got to be a sous chef at somebody's restaurant. You have to be a chef at somebody's restaurant. So in other words, if you win the reality show, you get a job.
Yeah, pretty much. Which actually works out kind of well for some.
I guess so.
But you know what? If you need a job, you're probably not the best chef in America.
Then there's a reason why you don't have one.
Then there's a reason why you have to go on TV to get a job.
Exactly.
However, in Top Chef, what you win is a Kenmore Pro Kitchen. You win an editorial on you in Food and Wine, which is very valuable to somebody who is actually a chef and in the trade. You get to show your food at the Food and Wine Classic at Aspen. You get the title of Top Chef, and oh, there's that one other little thing, you get $100,000.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The boatload of cash.
And you don't have to go to work every day for 2 years to get that $100,000. They just freaking give it to you.
All right, Cliff. So the prizes are nice and all, but obviously, you know, anybody who watches the show, they you know, really put it to you. Why are you doing this to yourself?
I'm a glutton for punishment. You know why? It's honestly just for me, just to go out and... It is real food. It's real food and grueling scenarios and situations.
Now,
and it's fun.
Now, let's put this... So people who haven't seen the show, what they do is they take a number of contestants and they whittle them down like Survivor, you know.
But unlike other chef shows, what they take here are people who are actually chefs.
Yeah,
or sous chefs or line cooks. But they're all restaurant professionals.
Caterers.
In one way or another. And so what the difference here that I've seen is they bring restaurant professionals together and have you compete in real, mostly real life restaurant tests.
In they give you like a box of food and say create a meal in X amount of time, and that is sort of similar to that's utilizing the skills that it takes to be a great chef.
It's like going to work every day.
Yeah. Now, what do you think makes the Top Chef? What do you think are the attributes that help someone? What are the skills most important to win this show, to be the Top Chef on the show Top Chef?
You know what, honestly, I think it's really how well you control yourself in that situation at that point in time. Having the ability not to freak out or get flustered and be scatterbrained and run around like a chicken with your head cut off.
Yeah, you know, I'm amazed at both this show and in the last show sometimes the way the show works. And I mean, Tom Kalicki has got a great personality. I mean, I like the man personally, and I also like...
he does. He's an incredible gentleman.
He's great, and he's just that. He's a gentleman, and we've known him from before the show. We have some mutual friends, and he's been on this. He came on the show last time, and he's a professional and a gentleman. I'm amazed that sometime he'll walk back in the kitchen while you guys are working, and he'll say, "So how you doing? What are your plans here?" And somebody will say, "I'm a mess. I have no idea what I'm doing. It's horrible."
You're like, that's a good question. I'm not sure.
You know, and what's running through my mind is bluff, bluff.
Yeah, exactly. I've created a large pile of garbage.
If you don't know it, wing it.
Yeah. Or pretend like you do know it.
Exactly.
I mean, what is it like when Calicchio comes back and he asks you about your food while you're creating it?
Well, you know, seeing as how he is Tom Calicchio, it was actually a little bit nerve-wracking.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, first time he came over, I definitely probably stuttered. I was just like, Other than that, it was good. He was definitely there to support all of us in any way, as much as he could.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you say something stupid, he uses it against you.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and you'll hear about it for the rest of it, for the duration.
And he makes fun of you on national television,
which is always good. I mean,
you know, but I want to draw the distinction here. There's the Gordon Ramsay show, Hell's Kitchen, which is, you know, I don't know how Gordon Ramsay is as a chef in a restaurant, but on TV, screaming and yelling at people is sort of the stereotype of what a chef used to be, and I don't particularly care for it, and I wouldn't work with anybody like that, although we unfortunately had when we were younger in our past.
Yeah, all of us have.
And you know, this show is about the respect of a professional, which is what it's happening in our society. When we come back, I am going to ask Cliff Crooks, what is the difference between what it takes to win Top Chef and what he thinks it's like what it takes to be a great chef in a restaurant day to day? And that's a very different thing. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:25.
Today we are proud to present Jackie Naylor.
Once upon a time, New Year's Eve was a night for swank jazz, champagne, and caviar. Ring in 2007 at just such a gathering with us. The Restaurant Guys present a New Year's Eve jazz concert at the Crossroads Theater, starring Ms. Jackie Naylor. Jackie's been called the new voice of jazz by Vogue magazine. Jazz Times says, in the never-ending Next Big Thing sweepstakes, bet on Jackie Naylor. She's headlined internationally, she's played with Michael McDonald and David Sanborn, and on New Year's Eve, she'll play to a sold-out crowd at the Crossroads Theater right next to our restaurants. Dine before or after the show at either one of our acclaimed restaurants. There are hotel accommodations within walking distance, one of the best jazz singers in the country, two of the best restaurants in the state, an evening not to be forgotten. Go to stageleft.com or CatherineLombardi.com for details, reservations, and menus, or call 732-828-4444. Put the swank back in New Year's Eve. Spend it with the Restaurant Guys.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. We're talking with Cliff Crooks. Cliff is the executive chef at Salute Restaurant in Manhattan, and he is also a contestant on Top Chef, the Bravo TV reality cooking show. Now, you're competing to be Top Chef, win $100,000 and a lot of great things, and get a real shot in the arm for your career. And in fact, just being on this widely viewed and popular show is a real shot in the arm for your career.
Yeah. All of a sudden, you're on one of the biggest radio shows in the country. That happens.
And now, the calls will start rolling in tomorrow. But what do you think are the differences? What is Top Chef not approximate that it takes to be a great chef? You are a chef in real life, and a chef is a lot of things: a leader of people, it's an artist, it's an artisan.
I'm also mom, dad.
Yes, we hear that.
Well, talk about that. Talk about what this show doesn't capture. What being a real chef is about.
It doesn't. You know what? Being on a competitive show such as this, aside from cooking and being able to make snap decisions and in little time, it really is about managing people. Mm-hmm. And the way, and your ability to lead them in order to get them to do what you need them to do on a daily basis. It is all encompassing. It doesn't, you're missing a lot of the managerial half, the financial half.
Mm-hmm.
It's what the show has put together is almost an overview.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not everything.
I think one of the things that's interesting is it talks about the show speaks accurately of time management, creativity, pressure under fire, which is the sexy part of it.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's funny. Mark and I say all the time about our roles. We're front of the house guys. But we say, you know, the sexy part of it, like service. Yeah, I love service. Mm-hmm. I love the adrenaline of service. I love being the maitre d', being the sommelier.
It's the best. It's the best part of my job.
Yeah, but I come to work at 9 o'clock in the morning, and so do you. You know.
Yeah.
And that's what I think being a chef is about, is about being a leader of people, being a leader of an organization day in and day out. And like you said, Cliff, being mom and dad to a lot of people, especially a lot of young people in our business. Do you agree with that?
True, absolutely. Especially after being here for, you know, 12 to 15 hours, you really don't feel sexy after 15 hours.
Yeah, but you look great, Cliff.
Oh, God, yes.
All right, we have to go to the news right now, but when we come back, we're going to be talking more with Cliff Crooks, who is on Top Chef. He's actually a Jersey boy, and in fact, like the Restaurant Guys, he's an Essex County boy.
That's
we'll talk
right.
with him more after the news. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:30.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal. I'm here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcast on iTunes.
Today, we're talking with Executive Chef Cliff Crooks of Salute Restaurant in Manhattan. He is a contestant on Top Chef, the Bravo TV reality series that you can find Wednesdays between 10 and 11 p.m. Pacific time or Eastern time on the Bravo network. Now, Cliff, you're on the show. You're an executive chef, and you run a restaurant every day. That's your livelihood. That's your life.
That's my life.
If you win this show, you get $100,000 and a lot of great stuff, and that's really nice. You're on the show, however, with now everyone has some level of professionalism, but there are some people who are just pastry chefs, some people who are just caterers. One woman, when they asked about why she got into cooking, she said, well, I used to be bulimic, so I started cooking to, you know, work on that issue. Do you feel that you come with a great advantage being in the trenches executive chef?
You know what, actually, having, you know, been surrounded with so many, actually, everyone else on the show was absolutely phenomenal, first and foremost. I went in there pretty much expecting nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, to see what happened. And you'll be very surprised at how much people will surprise you,
mm-hmm.
In fact.
How did they surprise you? I mean, were you surprised by some of the people who weren't executive chefs and how well they did?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
Just as far as something as simple as the plates that they're making. We're really phenomenal.
Can we get into a little of the gossip of the show now?
Absolutely.
Oh, I love this. I love this.
All right. Now,
a real conversation.
So you know what? And that's another thing about this that is very much like a real restaurant. Gossip, gossip, gossip.
Oh, it is, you know, restaurants are drama central. So
who's zooming who?
It comes with the turf.
So, I mean, when people started making reality shows out of restaurants, I was like, oh, perfect.
Yeah. It is reality show. Okay, go ahead. Gossip.
So, okay, last year we had our villains in Top Chef, and there were people that everybody loved to hate. Who's emerging, do you think, as the person people are going to love to hate?
Oh, emerging as the villain would probably be Marcel.
Yeah. He's a type, though. He was it's always the wine guy that people hate. Why is that? I'm a wine guy.
Well, you know what? Ironically, he is not the wine guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think everyone likens him to Steven from the first season.
Yes.
So that automatically just kind of hit right there.
Well,
and there.
For anybody who saw the show and doesn't know whose name is who, he's kind of the guy who looks like the heat miser who in a wind tunnel.
Wolverine.
Wolverine.
Yeah.
But he's the snooty guy. I think we want to. You have to have archetypes on each of these shows. And the snooty guy last time was a sommelier.
Yeah.
And he was really talented, but everyone was like, oh, I hate that guy. But his name is Marcel Vigneron, which actually means winemaker in French. But Marcel is the snooty guy this time around.
Yeah, he is.
How much of that, I mean, look, there was in the first episode, which we saw last night, people were criticizing Otto.
Yeah.
Who was a really nice older guy, and Marcel. And the people who were criticizing Otto were like, you could tell they almost felt bad about it, and the people who were criticizing Marcel were like, yeah, I didn't like that at all. Yeah. Yeah. Terrible, terrible. And he thinks he's so good. He's not so good.
Where's the bus? I want to throw Marcel.
Was that really how it was, or was that played up more for the camera? I mean, are there little rivalries like that? Like, I got your Marcel right here, you know?
Yeah, no, there are, you know what, there are times, I'm sure, when all of us got under, you know, everyone's skin, because it is first and foremost a competition. As far as him being really snooty, the kid's actually really not that snooty at all. But definitely in front of the camera, it's like, Wow, I'm going to hit you.
Are you just saying that because you have to see him next week?
He's actually downstairs right now. No. He's really not that snooty at all.
If I were the director of the show, though, to make better TV, I would definitely try and push it.
Yeah, I would have roomed you two together just by yourselves. And
oh, there are buttons will be pushed as you will see in upcoming shows.
Okay, so now one of the challenges in the first show was the ubiquitous box of food. You've got an hour, or however long they gave you.
Which, and just so people know, is something that sometimes when we're interviewing executive chefs for our own restaurant, what we'll do is we'll say, okay, our box of food doesn't have five items in it; it has 100 items in it. But
here's a market basket.
Can I tell you? I just want to interject a story. We interviewed a guy once, and we said, we all know. We all know, and we're telling you, but Cliff and Mark and I know that when you interview a chef, you go through an interview process. There are talking interviews, and then there's a cooking interview. And usually, if it's for executive chef or sous chef or a higher ranking position, you say, "Why don't you come into the restaurant, take 3 hours, make us, two appetizer courses, three entree courses, and two desserts, and we'll talk about your food and how you make it." It is very much like this reality show. I remember once this guy came in, and he showed up, and we had somebody else let him in, and he's cooking us this food, and we're like, we don't have this stuff in our kitchen.
He
brought his stuff in a cooler, and like he had pre-made pâtés and stuff that I think he bought somewhere. So it's very relevant. Okay, so, but you're on national TV.
Hold on. I just want to relate one more quick story. The story I thought Francis was going to tell of my worst market basket collection. Somebody came in for us and cooked for us, and I'll never forget the combination because it was clams, chorizo, and grapefruit juice.
In kind of a soup.
And it was one of the most horrible combinations
and
that
chorizo,
I've...
Chorizo, wait, you lost me with the grapefruit.
And that's where he lost us, too, as a matter of fact. So.
And let me kill it with acid.
All right, so you're presented on national TV, not just with a job interview, with a box of food. And you got... Why don't you tell us about your ingredients and what you did with them, and did you... And they pick, like, odd ingredients. Like, what the heck am I going to do with that? What did you get? What did you do?
What the... the oddest thing that's ever happened in my life so far. Walk in, and, a basket's a basket. It's frog's legs, chicken livers, corn flakes, peanut butter, and, two graffiti eggplant.
It's not just for breakfast anymore.
No. The first thing I looked at, I was like, what am I going to do?
You know what I would have done?
What is cereal?
What I would have done was I would have had a bowl of corn flakes while I decided what to do with the other ingredients.
So I made myself a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and thought about it for an hour.
So how did you come up with what you finally came up with?
I'm looking around, and the thing about it is that we had to make multiple plates. So when we had two sets of frog's legs, so how was I going to actually divvy this up? A lot of people want the lollipop route.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great, but they weren't all even.
Right, which would mean leaving the frog's legs on the bone and eat them like a lollipop.
Yeah,
right.
But they all weren't going to be even pieces. So
right.
Which
each plate was going to look different.
Yeah, which was just going to bother me. So I actually decided to braise them, debone them, force cool them, and then re-season them afterwards. Did that on one half with a little graffiti eggplant chip, and the other half I made a little ginger eggplant salad with the chicken liver.
But talk to us about the cornflakes, man.
Yeah.
How did you work in the breakfast food?
I actually mixed the cornflakes with panko, a little crushed red pepper, coated chicken liver with that, fried that off, used that with the graffiti eggplant salad, and the magical peanut butter. we made a little lemon peanut aioli.
I got to tell you, one of the things about watching the show is, that is sort of like you do an interview, except you'd never give a chef a box of those ingredients. And when you guys opened those boxes and we saw your faces, I was sitting in the audience going, oh, my God, what are they going to do with that? And it was very interesting to see you guys do that stuff. I will tell you that they broke off in this part of the show into two teams, and I think your team's got the easier part. The other team got some American processed cheese.
Yeah, they did. We were actually waiting for them, and we were like, what's going to happen? What do you think they're going to do? And we walked in, and we're like, whoa.
Yeah, I thought you guys definitely got off because they went first, and when everyone was really thrown off by the American cheese food. It's really hard to work that into a dish if you're out there in America.
And let me explain what they actually had. They had American processed cheese food, which you can't actually call cheese.
It's
you,
not.
You have to call it cheese food by law because it is not actually cheese.
And what I also love is they had to work that in with the escargot. You know, so if you're out there,
two total different ends
so,
of the spectrum.
So here's what's going on in listener land right now. Half the people are going, "What do you mean American processed cheese? I put that on everything." They just got grossed out by the escargot. The listeners who are listening, like, "Yeah, escargot, I get all the time," are grossed out by the processed cheese.
On a normal everyday basis, we do not work with cheese food.
Or with Snell's gratin American.
Yeah.
We'll be back talking more with Cliff Crooks about Top Chef, on which he is a contestant, and who knows, we may now be talking to the next Top Chef in America. You're listening.
Watch what happens.
We'll see what happens. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:45. Hey, Alex, I did a little stutter step there on the way out of the 11:45 seconds, so I'm going to end it again and just make me sound smart. Ready? You're listening to the Restaurant Guys. We're talking with Cliff Crooks, who is having trouble with this for some reason.
That was an awesome.
I love editors.
All right, try it again.
Okay. We're talking with Cliff Crooks. He is a contestant on Top Chef. We may now be talking to the next American Top Chef. You never know. You have to watch the show on the Bravo channel.
What happens?
You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:45.
Economy Paver and Restaurant Supply Company is the oldest dealership in New Jersey. They've been equipping and supplying restaurants since 1932, and they know that to make great food, you need great equipment. You need equipment that doesn't break down, and you can't pay too much for it. Whether you need an emergency replacement or a wholesale kitchen renovation, Economy's knowledge, experience, and integrity are indispensable. Economy Paper and Restaurant Supply is a recognized dealer for all major brands, and they specialize in custom fabrication and ventilation. At Economy, they've got all the tools you need to get the job done, all in one place, all priced right, and delivered to your door. Economy is the only dealer in New Jersey that's been approved for on-site demonstrations of the Rational Combi Oven. The Rational Combi Oven is an innovative combination of convection and adjustable steam oven. It's a powerful and versatile tool in your kitchen's arsenal. They also supply competitively priced paper products and all the non-food supplies every restaurant needs. You can visit the Economy Demo Kitchen on Broad Street in Clifton, New Jersey. You can also visit economysupply.com, then call them at 973-279-5500. That's 973-279-5500.
Hey everybody, welcome back. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left in Captain Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. Our guest today is Cliff Crooks. He is executive chef at Salute Restaurant in New York City. He's originally from New Jersey. He's a Jersey boy just like we are. And he is a contestant on the Bravo TV show Top Chef, which you should watch from 10 to 11 p.m., whether you're Pacific time or Eastern time, on the Bravo network.
So, Cliff, I'm watching the show, and the first episode was last week, and I see Harold Dieterle, the guy who won last year, who was also on this show right after he won. And what I see is Harold actually looks, I think, more uncomfortable at the on the judges' table than he was when he was actually cooking food. So do you think that may be a tough transition to make?
Absolutely. I would not. You know what? I actually would not want to be in his shoes.
Well, you might,
because it is easier to cook.
You might be in his shoes. Yeah. Are you ready to be a star?
Am I ready to be a star? I'm still me.
You know, yeah. First episode aired on Wednesday. They're going to be flocking to you soon, man.
But wouldn't you rather be you with an extra $100,000?
You know, let me tell you, that's not bad.
So if you win, what are the plans? Are you? I mean, Harold's kind of rolling this into opening a new restaurant in Manhattan. What do you hope to do if you win?
You know what? Just probably end up traveling for a good 6 months, and then while traveling and, you know, cooking, just really think rather than make stupid decision.
I think. Go ahead.
That's pretty much the plan right now.
I think that do you have your aspiration, because being a chef and owning a restaurant are different things, and some people want to be chef owners and some people don't. What do you fall in the idea of owning your own restaurant? Are you afflicted with that particular form of mental illness that you would want to do that someday?
Absolutely.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry for you.
I'm a glutton for punishment.
I know. It's really hard. Now, when you do, should you open a restaurant? What kind of place would you open? And where would you open? Would you come back to Jersey or would you stay in New York? What would you do?
Oh, you know, good question. I definitely, you know what, I would actually come back to Jersey.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you just saying that because this is we're based in Jersey?
No, not at all.
Because there's no sucking up to the host. That's
no,
not allowed.
No, I've got a couple. I have a couple chef friends. One is a great mentor of mine who actually just opened up a restaurant in New Jersey. And every time I go and see him, it's that wow.
What restaurant?
He always, He's actually Aura in Morristown on 90 South Street.
Sure, for good things.
Great. Francis Falvey and his brother, Jeffrey.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing absolutely phenomenal things, and, you know, just working with him for many years and watching him, you know, see through this project and, you know, his new child. It's unbelievable.
Did he tell you how many times he threw up during the process?
Yeah. Oh, 1,000,000,001. Did he tell you how many times I held his hair back?
I didn't know about you guys. Well, there you go. Anyway, hold on a second.
So, Cliff, you know, we got away from talking about the kind of the framework of the show. The beginning of the show starts out with you guys go into what's called a quick fire challenge, where you get 30 minutes to accomplish a task, and one of you wins what's, I guess, the survivor people
immunity.
Would call immunity.
Yeah.
You can't be knocked out during that show. Now, Flambé was the choice today, and, you know, what did you choose to do for Flambé?
Flambé. Actually, I chose two liqueurs for Flambé. One was a apple brandy mm-hmm. and Sambuca. So I did a diver scallop over salad of dandelion greens, red onion, and lemon zest with Sambuca butter, and a poached clam in apple brandy with caramelized apple and chive.
That did not win you immunity, though.
That did not win me immunity.
I'm sorry to say.
No, it did not.
Well, I'll tell you, the flambé thing, I have to say, and this hasn't happened to you, but there was the one woman who actually did really well in the next challenge, but she went to flambé and she used red wine, which doesn't flam.
Which is not flam.
It only flams when it's really, 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 really hot.
Exactly. So, for me, there would be on national television that the fear of just hitting a wall. You know, sometimes it doesn't come. You've got the hour to make that happen, and your flambé doesn't flam. I mean, how did she deal with that?
She actually dealt with it like a champ. She, you know, sat back. She's like, you know, it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really all, that's all you can do.
And she came back in the next segment like guns blazing and did really well.
Yeah, and hit it hard.
Do you think that certain challenges, and this is kind of where I was getting to, certain challenges favor one contestant and certain challenges favor another contestant?
You know what, I wouldn't say favor one contestant. It's more what direction they are leading you, i.e. if we did something on the pastry side and there is a pastry chef on the show, well, then mm-hmm. she would have the upper hand.
Well, my favorite was on the first show, Mia, that you were given frog's legs, and she's like, I used to catch frog's legs when I was a little girl.
Yeah,
we had this every Sunday. Here we go.
Come on, that's just not fair. You got to admit.
I think that's really terrific. So, one final thing, and we only have a minute left, but when you guys, sometimes the contestants are asked to judge the other contestants, do you find that difficult?
You know what? For the first one, yeah, it was a little bit difficult. Just, you know, we had all, you know, just really kind of gotten to know each other, not really.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a little bit difficult. You, like, see a great plate, and it's balanced really well, but it's... Yeah, it's still a competition.
Well, and, you know, there's got to be a certain amount of there, but for the grace of God, go I, you know.
Yeah, that's...
You're like, this is disgusting, but maybe in an hour they're going to say I'm disgusting, so maybe I'll hold my
exactly,
tongue.
Yeah.
Anyway, Cliff, we want to thank you for coming on the show. We're thrilled to have you on the show, and we're thrilled to be watching Top Chef. We'll watch it every week.
Beautiful.
Best of luck to you. Maybe
we'll see you in the funny papers.
Thanks, guys.
All right, take care. That's Cliff Crooks from Top Chef. You can see Top Chef on the Bravo Network from 10 to 11 p.m., whether Eastern Time or Pacific Time. You can find out more about it on our website, restaurantguysradio.com. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:55. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis, stage left, and Catherine Labarty, restaurants in New Brunswick. Cliff Crooks, contestant on Top Chef on the Bravo Network. Nice guy. Nice guy. Want to meet him for a beer. Can you talk? Are you all right there, Marky?
I'm here. I'm listening. He's a nice guy, yeah.
All right. You. I'll be carrying the rest of the show. Evidently, Mark's taking a little break.
I heard you.
I'll
you
tell a story.
Nice
you
guy.
Just go have a cup of tea or something. Reminded me when we were talking about interviewing chefs of some of our interview stories. Always said we want to write a book based on interview stories.
Some of the most hysterical incidents that have happened to me in the restaurant have been in those interviews.
Now the waiter interviews are one, you know, you interview a lot of 18, 19, 20 year olds for waiter positions, that's one thing. But there are people who are chefs cooking in this country that you've read about in Kitchen Confidential, and they're there. And Mark and I run a place that's based on mutual respect. It's based on our philosophy of how to deal with people. It's very important to us. We're sitting in an interview one time, and we're talking to a guy, and he says just the most offensive things. I don't think women should be in the kitchen. I don't believe that.
Unbelievable.
They're in the kitchen at home.
Unbelievable.
Like, and the one guy who Mark makes fun of me, because Mark likes to be polite all the way through the end. And the guy said something like...
Something very racist.
I'm going to say what he said. He said something like... Yeah, you need one white guy in the kitchen, and then a bunch of Mexicans, and then something really just like how the Mexicans just do what they're told.
And Francis actually picked up his papers and turned his back to the man.
I didn't turn my back. I turned to the side, and I crossed my legs.
But it was so crystal clear. And I think he didn't know what you did.
I think I may have folded my arms and went... but I don't think the guy even noticed.
People will say the most unbelievable things.
Those Mexicans, just tell them what to do. They jump around for you. I was like, are you... what kind of a jerk are you?
I remember another guy, like, what do you get involved with this? He goes, I don't like to think about this too much, because, people eat it 6 hours later. It's all in the end,
I
thought, get out of my restaurant. Get out. You can't be here ever again. Don't even eat here. Okay, stay out, please. I'm begging you.
Our executive chef, Anthony Bucco, is the most sophisticated, urbane...
A fantastic young man.
...fair young man, and we are lucky to have him. And every time I talk about old interviews, I remember how lucky we are to have Anthony Bucco as our executive chef and all the great people that work for us. So here's to them. Hope you've enjoyed listening to The Restaurant Guys for this hour. I am Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 12 noon.